What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures Podcast. So tonight is part two of our interview with Luis Granillo.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All right. And kind of the reason we have a part two. Well, this is going to be a long one anyways.
It was, yes. In our defense.
Yeah, in our defense. Yeah, you know, got to justify it somehow. But if you listen to part one, which you should, if you're listening to this one, go back and listen to part one. If you haven't yet, this will make a lot more sense to you. So what was I saying?
That we ended the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about that abruptly. Yeah, I called it for another shot, and we were supposed to come back.
And we didn't.
No.
So you ended in the red chair, as I remember.
You know, it's a comfy chair. Why not? Luis was here. That was his first time over to our house.
Yep.
And meeting he came Wendy. Back. Yeah. I was like...
That's a good sign, right?
Yeah. I saw him at work. I was like, oh, shit, I got to go apologize for what happened.
It was a good time. Yeah.
Oh, God. So what was your take on that, Luis?
On?
Like how that ended there.
We were going to take a break and come back and finish the podcast, but we weren't fully functional by the end of the
of the break.
It was good.
It was an extended break.
Yeah, so a week later we're back at it.
Yeah. It was an excuse to come back.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Is everyone headphone levels good?
Yep.
All right, sweet. Let's get started on this. First of all, too, we would like to thank our listeners out there. So if you're supporting us by listening or subscribing.
Thank you so much. Yes, tell your friends.
We forget to thank you guys all the time, but thank you. Tell your friends and subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet on SoundCloud or CastBox.
Correct.
Yes.
And find us on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, we're on Instagram now.
This is my new thing.
Toasted Marshmallow Adventures 1.
Yes.
Yeah, Wendy's getting into
Instagram. That's kind of the
Instagram.
Crazy version of things.
Yeah, you get a little bit racier stuff on Instagram than you do on Facebook.
You're not going to see that on Facebook.
No. We got family on Facebook. Well, my dad's going to hear this too. So see if he makes an Instagram account.
How about we... Cut that out.
We could edit that if we want.
All right.
So, from the 80s and being a fan, knew Michael Jackson was a Jehovah's Witness. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I'd forgotten about that. Dang.
Did you ever get to meet him?
No, I never met him.
Was he a person that was talked about in the religion?
Yes. He was deemed as a bad example.
Oh, he was.
Yes,
okay.
why it's not a good idea to go after fame and glory and money. So he was always about talk negatively about him, about how his whole family was a Jehovah's Witness. And then he ended up going into the music and fame and all that stuff, and things didn't go well for him. So like he started having where he wanted to like be white and, you know, like changing the color of his skin and stuff like that, and problems here and there. And it was always, see, if he would have seen the truth, he would have been, you know, his life would have been a lot better and this and that. But he decided to go after Satan's glory world, and look what happened. So, it was always seen as a bad thing. Same as, Prince and Selena.
Were they all Jehovah's Witnesses? Yep. Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Also, that actor, I really like that actor. He's in Dynasty, the show, and also in the very first Iron Man movie, the black guy, the one who gets replaced in the rest of the film, but the very first one. You ever see Iron Man? The first one, his like right hand, that guy.
I thought it was Samuel Jackson. No. He was in those though, wasn't he?
Yeah, like, he was. Yeah.
Okay.
Can't you put it on the screen?
Oh yeah, I could. Let's see. We're Googling the black guy from the first Iron Man. That's going to be in our Google search, and we're going to sound racist. let's see.
No.
Just put Iron Man cast.
There you go. That's way better. Sheesh.
All right, let's see here. Iron Man cast.
Oh, this guy? Don Cheadle?
No. The guy before him. He's in Iron Man 2 and above.
Iron Man 1. Oh,
he's down here.
Here?
That guy.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
I do not know. Let's go. We can find it out. Here, let's see. Iron Man. Let's do one. Enter.
Oops. There he is. Terrence Howard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've seen him in other stuff, yeah.
He's been in and out of the religion. He goes...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he goes in and stops acting, and then he goes back into acting and religion and stuff, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he's a freaking flyer. Wow.
So were people like Michael Jackson, Selena, and Prince, were they active practicing members?
So most of these were their families. They grew up into it, and then they left and did their own thing. So they were active as kids, but then as adults, they just chose. They left the cult and went their own way.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Left the cult.
Yes.
Sweet. I wanted to talk also. Sorry, I'll get back on the mic here. You mentioned the anointed ones, this 144,000. Uh-huh. How does it explain in the religion how they are chosen?
You're not supposed to question it. They just know. So it's supposed to be a thing that the Holy Spirit... God talks to them through the Holy Spirit and lets them know, hey, you're one of the anointed ones now. And they just come and announce and say, I've been talked to by God that I am one of the anointed ones and all of you must respect me as your superior kind of thing. And then when they when we have a memorial every year, they pass, similar to what they do in the Catholic Church where they pass communion. It's kind of similar to that. They replicate the Last Supper. So they'll get bread without yeast in it. And then they'll do wine, the one that represents the flesh of Christ and the one that represents the blood of Christ. So the only ones that are allowed to drink and eat from it are the anointed ones. Only them, and they are the only ones that are counted. So there's somebody watching, and they count how many in the audience ate it, and those are only the anointed ones that are. And then every year in the publication, it says we have so many anointed ones left. So many people ate out of the bread and drink out of the wine. And everybody else is scared to do so because if you do so and you're not an anointed one, if you don't hear voices in your head,
you're
not a schizophrenic.
Yeah. And you eat from it, then God is going to punish you pretty much.
Wow. So you got to be darn sure.
And yeah. You got to just like believe. So you basically choose that you're an anointed one. Is that what you're saying? Kind of like.
Yes, but it has to be believable. No. Yeah. So they say it's, if you read all their publications, you can read any of them and they're not sure. They don't have any actual guidelines or anything of how it is. What they say is that the anointed ones, don't have a desire to live on paradise earth. They have a desire to be in heaven. That's their, to where everybody else in the great crowd, the human nature is wanting to live on earth and have a family and do this and that and blah, 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 humanly stuff. To the anointed ones, once they get chosen, they just don't have a desire. Die? No, they just want to go to heaven. They have no desire to live a terrestrial life.
Huh.
And they just want to go up and govern with God and and be holy and do whatever holy anointed ones do up there. It's you're not allowed to question it.
Yeah.
They say they are. And they're revered as like the holiness of the holiest.
Did you ever consider just going, yeah, that's me?
Yeah. I did.
Pretty sure I am one.
there was a woman that claimed to be an anointed one in our congregation. And she would be treated as the highest of the highest. Because she's going to be like the ones governing us. She's mm-hmm. one of the people who are going to go to heaven. And it was just like, wow, you know, like sister so-and-so, like anything she says is like,
really?
Wow. Yeah. And, and I did actually think sometimes like, hey, what if I just say I'm an anointed one too? And I get all this kind of reverence towards me, you know, I didn't. Part of it was also like, I always thought, what am I going to do in heaven? I want to be down here and be in paradise and have a family and this and that. And, I don't want to go to heaven, but like, what am I going to do there? So I never did, but a lot of people would question it on like, are you sure that you're an anointed one? How do you know and stuff? Like, they wouldn't always believe it, but they would tell us, don't question it. If they know, they know.
So. Yeah.
That was going to be my next question. If you ever met someone who was an anointed one, and so you had one in your congregation, and so they were like a kind of holier person.
Yes. Wow. They believe the first anointed people were the 12 disciples of Jesus. Those are the first anointed people that are going to go to heaven. From the first century where they lived on. So it was the first century, and then the Christian congregation died out according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, and up until 1914 was when the GWs were recognized as the people of God, that it continued from 1914 on. It was when the anointed ones were chosen again. And this all goes back to a parable of Jesus where it says that there was a farmer who farmed, planted seeds, and then, a burglar came and planted weeds. And then, and the seeds that the farmer planted was wheat. So when it started growing, they weren't able to identify which one was the wheat and which one was the weed. And when I say weed, I'm talking about not marijuana, but so it says that in the parable of Jesus that the workers were like, what are we supposed to do now? And Jesus tells them, wait until it grows and you'll be able to identify, once it matures, you'll be able to identify the good plant from the bad plant, and mm-hmm. then you'll just weed out the bad weeds and leave the wheat. So, and they did so. So the Jehovah's Witnesses translate it as Jesus came, the 12 disciples, planted the seeds, the correct, you know, the Jehovah's Witness, beliefs. And then Satan came, which was a burglar, and planted the weeds, which is all other Christianity, the Catholicism, mm-hmm. and all the other stuff where, you know, in the Middle Ages and all that stuff that mm-hmm. went that, and so the time of growing of the plants was from the end of the first century until 1914, when supposedly Jesus came down and became, king and in heaven. They believe the war in heaven happened simultaneously as World War I. It's weird. So, but at first, what they don't tell you is that they think, before they said that, they thought World War I was the end of the world when it started. They preached it. World War I, the calamity's here, Armageddon's here, the nations are at war, this is the end. They, mm-hmm. if you go back to the books and you go back to the video, you go back to everything, that's what they were preaching. Mm-hmm. The end didn't come. So what happened was that they changed the teaching to that, no, it wasn't the end of the world. What it actually was, it was Jesus. It was, because it says that what happens in heaven happens on Earth. Mm-hmm. There's a text that says that in Apocalypse, I think. So they said that the World War One was the war on Earth, but at the same time, the war in heaven as well, when Satan
trying to like take over heaven or defeat God.
I'm thinking the word ejaculated, but that's not the right word. rejected from heaven. There we go. When he was rejected from heaven and thrown down to earth, and then Jesus became king. So they say that World War One was a war on earth while that was happening in heaven. So, and that's when the wheat matured, the Jehovah's Witnesses were identified as God's people, and then they were weeded out. All the other false religions were weeded out. And ever since then, the anointed ones were chosen again, because now we had a true religion. Mm. So from the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they believe that all of them were anointed at once. And there's another text in the Bible that says that this generation shall not pass before the end comes. So they believed that whoever was alive at that time that got anointed, that generation will not pass before the end time came. So they started making predictions of like, it's got to be around 1975, it's got to be around 1935, 1950. Because these people are getting old. They're getting old, yeah. Oh, damn. And they're getting old. And an anointed one can sin and can be replaced. They can be disfellowshipped. Oh, wow. So they get disfellowshipped, they get replaced by somebody else. But it's very rare and far in between. And so I think since what have we had? Four, five generations since 1914, mm-hmm. and the end hasn't come yet. So they keep changing. The term generation, the definition for them is a complete different one from what you'll find on the dictionary, because they had to improvise. Oh no, it doesn't mean a generation. It actually means a group of people that experience the same thing throughout their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And just trying to make up excuses of, to cover up their failed predictions pretty mm-hmm. much. And, so yeah, so they still think that there's anointed ones here, and they're very few now because most of them are old and dead, and the end is coming anytime. So.
Wow.
Jeez, that is crazy. Now, you said this religion originated in 1852?
Yes.
Is that correct? So it's a pretty new religion in mm-hmm. the scheme of things, but their teachings go back to like the time of like Jesus and stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, their teachings, they base it off the Bible. So they do a lot of where a lot of religions teach that the New Testament replaces the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that it's all one conjunction. So you find a lot of the rules are based off the Old Testament as well. Mm-hmm. But they believe that from Adam and Eve and Abel and Cain and Noah and Moses and all of them, that they were all Jehovah's Witnesses. So that's what they.
Oh wow! Yeah,
what they believe.
Oh, and do they worship Jesus, or is it?
They do. So they do. Yes, they do. No, sorry. No, they don't. They don't worship Jesus. They worship Jehovah. So they recognize Jesus as Jehovah's son. And yes, but they don't give worship to anybody but Jehovah. So
Jehovah is God. Is that?
Yes, Jehovah's God and Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah, okay.
They don't I know the Catholic Church and other churches believe in the Trinity, where God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one person. They don't believe in that. That's actually originates, which they're right, it originates from pagan gods, mixing with Christianity. So There's a Father, there's a Son, and then the Holy Spirit, they believe, is just like the force, the power of God. It's not like an actual person or anything mm-hmm. or a character. Mm-hmm. It's like the power of mm-hmm. God. And so you're allowed Jesus is the mediator between So they believe it's Jehovah, then it's Jesus, then it's a governing body, then it's us. So mm-hmm. he's a mediator between humans and Jehovah. And there's a text that Jesus says, nobody comes to the Father unless they come through me first. So that's where they base it off of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And now these, now you talked about also this group of eight people in New York. What were they called? The governing body?
Yes.
Now, were you ever able to meet any of them, or do you have to be like really high up in the church to meet them, or are they just untouchable?
So, I never met any of them in person. I've been to the headquarters and we watched them on TV. So what they do is every morning, every meal they have, they'll do some sort of Bible something, and all of the Bethelites, that's what they're called, Bethelites, people that work there, gather in the cafeteria. They have their meals, and there's a TV that plays, and there's some indoctrination going on, them talking to the Bethelites and stuff. So if you go visit, they'll allow you to like to eat with them and get to see that. And that's the closest I got into one of them.
Wow. So just on TV,
yeah.
Like at the place where they are supposedly at, or, yeah. I mean, do they go there every day? Is it like a job? They show up and they got some work to do, or do you know that?
I think, I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's like, is that like secret stuff?
it is very secretive the way they take care of their daily stuff and everything. There's recently one of them was caught on tape on YouTube. You can actually watch it. And it was an apostate, not an apostate, a disfellowship person. To them, it's an apostate. So you're not supposed to drink. You're not supposed to, buy expensive and fine liquor and stuff like that, because it's against the religion. And he was caught buying a lot of liquor, a lot. Like, he had a cart full of it. And somebody just recorded him. And he's like, look at the hypocrisy. One of our governing bodies is with, like, I think he had, like, 12 bottles of, like, expensive and fine whiskey. And and so that was, like, a moment that got caught him outside of what you normally see him on. You see the governing body a lot in... Oh, what do they call it? Every week, once a month, they do a podcast. Can't remember.
What we should have them on.
I don't think we've listened to that one.
No, we haven't heard that one at all. It's
televised. I'll remember what
it's televised,
what
it's huh?
Yeah. Oh, dang.
So you can see it on Roku if you have a Roku app.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, we do have a Roku yeah. in the guest room.
Yeah, if you have that, you can see it, and you just go to the Watchtower. And you can see their stuff every month. Okay. And that's what you get to them. That's
Is that like a streaming, like a Netflix thing? They have like the Watchtower.
Yeah.
Oh.
Once a month they'll play something.
I kind of want to look at that just to see like what it's.
Yeah. If you go to John Cedar's YouTube channel, he does every single episode they have, and he debunks and explains everything.
Oh,
so
wow.
It'd probably be easier for somebody who hasn't been in the mm-hmm. faith, doesn't understand everything they're talking about.
Yeah.
He will just point by point, mm-hmm. just debunk everything and explain what they're talking about. And
that'd
stuff.
Be interesting.
Yeah. John yeah. Cedars is a really good place to start.
Now, do you know what his position was in the church?
John Cedars?
Yeah.
He was an elder.
An elder.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said your dad was one too,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is one currently.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Is.
Now, is that like one step up from a regular mm-hmm. member or?
No, that's several steps up. Oh, so okay. A regular member would be a publisher. And then you would have, a baptized publisher would be a regular member. And then you would have a ministerial servant. And then you would have a elder.
Oh, okay.
And then in the elders, there is three of them who are the top elders who do all the judging and they are judge, jury, and executioners. So, and anything that is like somebody comes and tells them, I saw so and so doing this, or, you know, saluting the flag or whatever, or doing this, they'll go and they'll talk to them, and it'll be three members, which are the highest ones of the elders, and they will talk to that person, and they will decide, what discipline to give them, if they're gonna, disfellowship them or whatever. And my father was in the top three. So, like, so when I started leaving, I didn't expect anything, because for him it's normal to split up families. He's been doing it for many, many years, and it's a normal thing, and he thinks he's doing the right thing. So I didn't expect any kind of mercy from him when I was leaving. And just as I thought, when I left, I haven't heard of him since. So
Wow, how long has that? Did you go talk to him?
I
and tell him you were leaving. Is that how it's done? Or
so no. I talked to another elder actually about it, and so they have a rule that when it comes to family members, an elder can't be part of the, they call it a committee, they can't be part of the judging committee because personal feelings get involved. So when they were doing the talks with me and the judging with me and everything, it was elders, two of the regular committees, and then one extra one to replace my father was in there. And they were the one judging and deciding what they were going to do about me and stuff. My father wasn't involved, but he just said that he's going to concur with whatever the elders decide, because that's God's will, because they supposedly act on God's behalf, and the Holy Spirit directs them. So they can't make a mistake.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your father was deemed like this perfect person in the church,
pretty much. Yeah. You're not supposed to question elders. You're not supposed to nothing, everything. They are holy. So, yeah.
Jeez. And so now you...
That is some pressure as a
kid. That's crazy, too, that like these three like humans are basically saying, okay, we're going to decide, like, everything. I mean, I know they feel they're guided by like Jehovah, but they're really just three humans making a decision.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
on someone's kind of future, basically. You know,
yeah, it's fucked up stuff.
Yeah, and so now you have no relationship with your parents because of this, correct?
Zero. Yeah,
zero. Relationship. Wow, and they think, because you're a bad person, an evil person, and you're gonna die.
That's exactly it. Wow. So they prefer not to have a relationship with me, because if they get emotionally involved, it'll be harder to see me dead on the ground in when Armageddon comes. So the farther away they stay, the easier it'll be for them to walk onto paradise without having to worry about their lost son. So,
jeez,
yeah.
I don't have enough expletives for this podcast here. Now, I know you have a lot of like bullet points. You brought some notes and stuff. Are there any specific things you really want to cover?
I was thinking if we were waiting, we could pull up that website.
Which one?
The YouTube thing, the Watchtower.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Here.
Is that YouTube?
Do they have a Watchtower channel on YouTube?
I believe it's people that post the videos from Watchtower and then put them on YouTube. It's not like officially.
Okay. Gotcha. What was the name of those kids, that kid?
Caleb and Sophia.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's number two in the list if you misspell Caleb and put and.
Nice.
Yeah.
So these are the ones made for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, dang. 52 minutes. Now I thought we'd have just
that
a little.
That one has all of them. Okay. Let's see if we can find one. Go down. The one I was talking about.
The allowance type of thing. Anti-gay indoctrination cartoon.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That is freaky.
Oh, that's a John Cedars one. Yeah. I'm going to go watch that.
Yeah. He's a cute. Let's go. Talk about that
one. Add to queue.
Holy cow.
Cancel. Okay.
For children.
Let's see. Yeah. Lessons 4 to 8. Let's just change this to...
Don't wear tight pants.
Yeah, they have a thing against tight pants. Wow. If you want to see something really funny, watch The Pillow Gate. It talks about masturbation. So telling all the Bethelites it's a video they have to sit through, and masturbation is a sin. So it talks about how, like, if you masturbate or even if you use a pillow and stuff, and that's what they call the Pillow Gate, God will reject you and you will be, expelled from, from Bethel and stuff. And it's funny.
Wow. I want to watch some of these. Don't wear tight pants. Oh, there's a knocking on people's doors.
Stealing is bad.
Oh, yeah. That's just true in life. I mean,
that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. It's a hard knock life. Yeah. Listeners, if you get a chance, search Caleb and Sophia on YouTube. I'm going to watch some of these. I just want to see what it's all about.
Be good in the ministry. There's an indoctrination about them going to door to door.
Wow.
Which one?
This one.
Oh. Be good in the ministry. Yeah, I'm going to watch some of these. I think that's pretty interesting. They're just like from the beginning, starting with the guilt.
Yeah.
Because you were telling us.
Never mind. What's that? What were you saying?
Oh, just kind of like how they just start them. You know, when you talked about the kid that got their allowance and, you know, they.
To give it.
Yeah, give instead of getting candy, you know?
Yeah.
Sheesh, get some candy, kids.
Yeah.
Go trick-or-treating.
Plenty of time.
Life is short.
They're not allowed to... I never trick-or-treated until this year.
Really?
Oh, what?
this I took year? My kids trick-or-treating.
Nice.
And that was my first experience.
That was
experience.
The first time.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, what was that like? Did it seem crazy to you? Or did you kind of know what to expect? Or?
Well, I knew what to expect. And it was more of like I want to let my kids have the experience that I never had. So, and when we went, where the place we went, there was a bunch of parents with their kids and all the whole family was dressed up. Mm-hmm. So we dressed up with their kids too. So it was a lot of fun. We just want to let the kids have the experience. And
what'd you go as?
I went as a Mortal Kombat character.
Nice.
Yeah. And, my little kid, he went in as the lion and, Nemo and Dory was my daughter.
Nice. Oh, cool.
And it was a lot of fun. And one of the main reasons why we left the cult was because I didn't want my daughter to have the same suppression that I had. Mm-hmm. I wanted her to enjoy her and have a childhood unlike I'd had. And, you know, so I wasn't going to put her through the same thing I went to. Mm-hmm. So I'm big on them celebrating holidays. And I mean, it's not like, for example, Christmas is not for the religious thing because I know everything that's involved in it, the paganism, the Christianity mixed and, Jesus couldn't have been born in 25th of December and blah, 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 all that stuff. But it's just, you know, it's just a fun time, the theme and stuff. Let the kids have fun instead of them having to sit out when everybody else is having fun. It's horrible. I remember school every year. I dreaded the holidays because everybody was celebrating. There was a bunch of food and everything. And I had to step out of the classroom and go to the library. And,
really?
Yeah. With the other,
if they did any Christmas stuff.
Wow.
Me and the other Jehovah's Witness, the congregation kids that were in school, we would go to the library and we would sit there for the rest of the day while everybody else had fun. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's brutal.
Yeah. So I didn't want to put my kids through that. And it takes a toll on you, you know, to feel that excluded. So I'm making sure my kids have the full experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you mentioned you didn't even have a childhood.
Yeah.
It was all just preaching and going to church.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Will you tell them someday about what you went through?
Tell who?
Your kids.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they ask, I would. Mm-hmm. And if they choose... Like me, I'm personally agnostic, but if they choose to go through a religion, that's up to them. You know, mm-hmm. if they want to be religious, go for it. If they want to be atheist, agnostic, it's whatever they choose. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to impose anything on
them. What if they wanted to be Jehovah Witness?
That was my question.
Oh, sorry.
I would warn them, but I would accept their decisions. Mm-hmm. So,
even if they
couldn't
stop talking to you because you weren't a Jehovah's Witness.
I don't believe in mind control because I know what it does, and I've been in mind control for the whole time. So I would respect their decision of whatever they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't like it, but it's your life, not mine. So you do as you please. Hopefully one day you realize you're wrong and you leave. But if you don't want to talk to me because you want to be in the cult, sucks, but go ahead.
Jeez. That'd be a tough one.
Well, I guess your parents chose the religion.
They did.
That's fucked up.
It is.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I think any religion that will split up families like that is, what's the right word?
I think you said it.
Yeah, I guess I did. It's fucked up.
Disgraceful.
Yeah.
Shitty.
Oh. Jeez. What, I kind of know the answer to this. So if a practicing, Jehovah's Witness, were listening, happened to listen to this podcast, what would they think of us and you?
Apostates controlled by Satan. They wouldn't be listening. You're not allowed to look at anything outside of their websites, outside of their, books. You're not allowed to do any research out of anything. If you find anything they tell you, if you find anything that contradicts or is outside of what we give you, it's false. It's Satan based. It's apostasy. They're just trying to get you out of the right pathway. So if they ever came across this and they started hearing this stuff, they would immediately turn it off. Or if they did hear it, they would just think how wrong and awful we are for thinking this way.
They covered all their bases.
I was there. I remember. I would listen to people talk bad about the cult. I would listen to their experiences, and it would always be, that's why you're disfellowshipped, because you're a dumbass. You know, like, because you're not following.
That's what you would
think. Because you're not following God's rule, and you're going to freaking die, and here you are just making up excuses of why you're not worthy to be one of us. Everybody thinks that way. You would see information of, like, you know, exposing, and it's all lies. It's lies. It's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. It's Satan trying to manipulate people's minds. This is the right way. And Satan's going to do everything he can to get people, away from God's way. And it's all lies. Mm-hmm. We know the truth. I was there. I remember. And then, it took a long time and a lot of, cognitive dissonance for me to actually finally transition out of it. Mm-hmm. So
now, was there a definitive moment for you?
Yes, there was.
What was that?
Oh, it ties in with my marriage. So my marriage was awful because of the cult.
Now you can marry anybody you want.
No, it has to be somebody that is a Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. So I actually met my ex-wife. I guess I can call her my ex-wife now. In the cult, she wasn't baptized. I was. It took a lot for. We wanted to be together, but we weren't allowed to because she wasn't baptized. I was, so she did the steps to get baptized. They questioned her, why are you trying to get baptized? Is it for him or is it because your love of Jehovah? So they put her through hell. She finally got baptized. We started dating. We got together. We got married. And then I started questioning a lot of the stuff. The mom was a big hypocrite. She would have one face in the kingdom hall and act like a saint. Mm. And outside of it, she had a whole different personality and stuff. Now, me coming from a family that from an elder and a regular pioneer, we followed everything by the book and by the law. So I would see all these things that she would do. And I'd be like, yeah, like if I went and told the elders right now, you'd be disfellowshipped.
Oh,
you know, okay. And she was just a regular member. So she didn't have as much pressure, but you know, like I ain't no snitch, so I didn't go and tell him. But it was a big thing because the mom would be like pulling the daughter away, and then trying to be controlled and within the cult, and then I'd be trying to like follow the rules of the cult, and then also it was awful. And then her brother got disfellowshipped for having sex before marriage, and the mother wanted us to talk to the brother.
Oh, geez.
And my ex-wife wanted to still have a relationship with
her brother,
but we weren't allowed to anymore. That put a lot of tension between us and the family. Mm-hmm. If we got caught talking to them and socializing with them, we could be disfellowshipped ourselves.
Yeah.
So a lot of pressure and a lot of questioning came in here. One of the biggest things was, when one of my friends, got disfellowshipped. So, no, he didn't get disfellowshipped because he wasn't baptized. So he had a really bad life at home, a very abusive, and always he support the parents' side. They never support the kids. Mm-hmm. The parents could be as abusive as they want to the kids, but the kids, it's always the kids' fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were abusive towards him. He ended up joining gangs because of his bad family life and stuff, and he got incarcerated. Well, when he was, in jail, he asked, he said that he made a prayer to Jehovah, and he said that if he lets him, get out of jail, he was gonna dedicate his life to Jehovah and serve him forever. So he got bailed out. He came out, and then he comes and he's like, thank you, Jehovah. Somehow, because somebody paid money, somehow it's Jehovah's hand doing it. But anyways, so he comes back and he tries to hit hard and, you know, try to serve Jehovah. And, the elders and everything just immediately, start doing a bunch of shunning and stuff like that. Well, then I even went into the elders and I talked to them, like the parable of the, of Jesus and, the prodigal son. Is that how you call it? Right?
Yeah.
Where he goes out and he spends all his money and does all this shit that he's not supposed to. And then he comes back. And as soon as he does, the father comes out and hugs him and says, come back, and makes a feast and blah, blah, blah. And then even the son that stayed, he's like, hey, what's going on? Like, I've been here the whole time and you've never made a feast for me. Like, I didn't leave and waste all your money and I've been here. And he's like, yeah, but we have somebody that left and came back. So let's rejoice. Well, none of that happened. Instead, he was getting shunned. So I had a lot of talks with the elders. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. You're not acting the way Jesus says we should be acting. Oh, well, we're acting the way the governing body says we should be doing. Well, this goes against the Bible, because also Jesus says that he would leave the 99 lambs to go search for the lost one. And so this is where really it started, you know, the problems in the family, the shunning, the friend. This is really when it started. Like, this is, if God is love, if we're following what the Bible says, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And then I started looking into...
How long of a period of time is that?
Oh, Jesus.
It's not immediate, it's over time, kind of?
Over time, yeah. So, I had a lot of doubts when I left my parents. I left my parents' house when I was like 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in and out, inactive of the cult, but the guilt kept bring me back. Then I tried marrying what my now ex-wife is, we became active again, and to be able to marry in the church, because it's a privilege to be married in the church. It's kind of like the Mormons as well. Like, you don't have a blessing if you don't qualify to marry in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were trying to do, and we achieved that goal. So that's when we came back hard. But then all of the other stuff started again, and we were just like, this is fucked up. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then that's when I started doing like research and stuff. And, they don't believe in psychology. They don't believe in mental health. They don't believe in any of that stuff. They believe depressed people are depressed because they have strayed from God's grace. Mm. So if you're depressed, what you need to do is go out and field service more, go to the meetings more, and do more indoctrinating reading, and God will come back to you and be a better Jehovah's Witness. Well, I was depressed at this time, and they were telling me this. You're depressed because...
So do more.
Yeah, so do more. Mm-hmm. I did more, and I did more, and I did more, and I did more, and nothing fixed it.
Yeah.
when I started...
So you wouldn't be encouraged to go get some kind of counseling?
No, that's Satan's knowledge.
Wow.
You see a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses do it on their own, mm-hmm. but when they do it, they do it behind what you would say, like without other people finding out, mm-hmm. because they say that is Satan's knowledge. If you are good with God, you should be a happy person.
Wow.
And a bunch of different men, like, you know, I started working at Inner Mountain and started looking into psychology a lot and stuff. And it really made a lot more sense than what the cult was teaching, mm-hmm. because clearly it wasn't working for me because I wasn't getting out of my depression.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's just until my daughter was born, she was about 6 months old. I had I was like, this is it. If I don't do it for me, if I haven't done it for me, I'm going to do it for my kids. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't want my kids to go through this. And I left. Yeah. My ex-wife dragged behind a little bit. She had a little bit of influence from her mom, and she was on the edge, mm-hmm. kind of wanted to get her mom's approval, to where I was just like, to my parents, I was like, if you guys accept me or not, fuck you guys. Like, yeah. it's your choice. You're either going to have a son in your life or you're not, but I'm not going to be in this cult anymore. Mm-hmm. It's your choice if you're going to follow the disfellowshipping and the signaling and stuff. It's like, I'm not going to be in it. It's your choice. Where my ex-wife was like, oh, I want my mom to love me and I want my mom to this and that. So she would, it took her a while to like, mm-hmm. Step
completely
out.
Break. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had spent since like 1920, and I left when I was like 26. So yeah, I was like 19 when I left, and I was kind of inactive. Came back around 20, 21, 22 to get married. And then about 2-3 years later, we just,
done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out. So that was my process of,
And that was a couple years ago?
Yeah, I'm 29 now, so mm-hmm. so I've been fully out of the cult for like 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. Yeah.
What has the last 2-3 years been like for you?
Overall, I'm finally living.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of repercussions in my relationship with my ex-wife, because it's like a whole different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We finally get to be ourselves and think on our own. Mm-hmm. So, we found we're not very compatible to where we and stuff. And, but besides that, besides the marriage and home life, everything else has been a million times better. Like, enjoyed it so much more. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to it. I don't miss it at all. It's just like I started to live, mm-hmm. for the first time at like 26.
Wow.
That's yeah. crazy, because like you mentioned that you're kind of still discovering like who you are as a
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, your ex-wife, is she fully out now, too?
Yeah, she's fully out.
So, does she not have a relationship with her parents anymore?
She does. So, her father isn't a Jehovah's Witness. He's never mm-hmm. converted. So, she speaks to him. The mother is meh, kind mm-hmm. of in, kind of puts a face when she's there, and then behind when mm-hmm. nobody's watching, she's a different person. So, she'll try, you know, she'll still have some sort of communication with my ex-wife. But overall, there's not much. But where in my case, I have zero communication with my parents. I mean, mm-hmm. he's an elder. I expect no less.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. Now, and you mentioned on the part one of this, people in the religion having a significant other or wife or husband that's not Jehovah's Witness. Now, is that, well, you said, I think you said it wasn't allowed, or is it allowed?
So it's not allowed to for you to marry somebody who isn't a Jehovah's Witness. You will get disfellowshipped, or you will get censored, or you'll get signaled, some sort of repercussion depending on what they decide. But if neither of you were Jehovah's Witnesses when you got married, and one of you got converted, like somebody came to your door and converted, then like
that's different.
My ex-wife's mom was converted.
Okay.
Actually, by my mom, started giving her a study.
Oh, wow.
And then it continued on.
And so if the husband didn't convert, then that's okay in that case.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, to a point. Like, the husband won't really be invited places. Mm-hmm. It's just her. They have to keep a limit on how much they are with their husband and stuff. Like, It's very difficult to be a single Jehovah's Witness when you're in a, not a single, but if you're a, if one of your spouse isn't a Jehovah's Witness, it's very difficult for them, especially because the spouse, you know, he wants to do normal things, and then you have the other one just like
church
and weird stuff.
Yeah,
just doing all the
one of the biggest complaints that we got from the mostly it was the men that weren't the Jehovah's Witness and the women were. From the men that I would hear is like, they would say, you're always out preaching. You're always out, preaching is like, you know, door to door. You're always at church. Like, you're never home. Like, you know, what's up? Like, and that's one of the biggest pressures they would have. And of course, they would say that's Satan talking and you gotta stay firm.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
The Lord comes first before your husband and stuff like that. So it's fucked up.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Holy crap. All right, what else you got over there for us, Luis?
So one of their beliefs that differentiate from Christianity, and they'll go on and on about this one. Most Christians will believe in the cross. Jesus died on a cross. They don't believe in the cross. They believe that Jesus died on a stake, a straight stick, and his hands over his head nailed to the stake instead of outwards, and they claim that the cross is a pagan symbol. You can find it, you can trace it all the way back to Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics.
There you go. They'll trace it all the way back to that, and it's true. That's where it comes from. And they say that Jesus instead died on a stake. And they believe that they don't worship Jesus. Like, you know, you'll see the Catholics and a lot of them will have like a Christ, you know, crucifixion. Or they'll have like a necklace of them or, you know, something like that. They don't do any of that. Jesus is not to be worshipped. It's only Jehovah. But they just respect and recognize the sacrifice he made. But if you relate him to a cross, then you're starting to relate him to like satanic stuff, beliefs, misconceptions.
So now I forget if you mentioned this. Now, do Jehovah's Witnesses, do they use a different Bible?
They use a New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures is what it's called.
Is that their own translation?
Their own translation,
okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so now, if you look at a Catholic or someone in another religion, you know, they may have a crucifix and necklace and stuff. Did Jehovah's Witnesses just have a stick necklace?
No, you're not allowed to have any kind of...
Oh, that's like a false idol or something?
Yeah, so okay. You got like Exodus, where it's 22-something that says that you shall not worship anything that represents something from the heaven or from the sea or on land. And then Psalms 80 something says that the idols that the other nations worship, they have eyes, they have mouth, they have teeth. I mean, they have arms, but they can't use them, and blah blah blah. So you shouldn't be worshiping any kind of idols. He says because God is a jealous God, and he only accepts worship directly to him. A lot of the times when we would talk to like other people from like other religions, and they're like, "Oh no, we're not worshiping the religion. We're worshiping God. We're just using the idol as a connection to God, you know, through him." Yeah. But again, they would always state that you're pretty much when you do that, you're directing it to Satan instead of directly to God. So they don't believe in any kind of jewelry, any kind of decoration, any kind of idol, no altars, no nothing. It's all just straight to Jehovah. The only person they worship, but no idol.
Yeah. So my next question, and we'll wrap up tonight with this one, and we may go on, who knows? But you mentioned they were against higher education.
Yes.
Because it was kind of keep them dumb and they'll keep believing what we say. Are the members pretty much basically kind of poor people, because they don't, you know, obviously they can't get a job as a lawyer or, you know, something that might pay more, you know, with the college education or something. Is that the case in the congregations?
80% of it, yes. Okay. There was a few people who had their own businesses in like construction or in flooring and stuff like that who are middle class, upper class kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But neither of those require higher education. Mm-hmm. And most of them, they actually encourage them to seek out jobs and part-time jobs. They say the least amount of time you spend on a job, the better, the more you can spend in service and stuff. So a lot of them will be, will live very simple lives. So because it's not materialistic, as they call it, and they ban anything, you know, higher education, stuff like that. So if they're out there looking to improve themselves economically, that is considered unspiritual, and they will actually get reprimanded for it.
Wow.
There's a couple, they strictly condemn going to a university that is out of state or even in state. They say because this every Jehovah's Witness young adult or anybody that has gone has left the cult. So they're like, that is evidence and proof that is Satan's trap. That's what they say. It's Satan's trap.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
So yeah,
because they got educated. And yeah. Was, oh, okay. I can see this for what it is now.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yes. DEFCON 5 bullshit level.
Yes. So I knew one or two people that actually were going to actual school for it. And like college and stuff, but they got so much backlash. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, you're so busy doing all of the church stuff that the person I knew actually failed several of the classes because she didn't have time to do everything because mm-hmm. they keep you so busy. It's very frowned upon. So.
Wow.
They encourage simple jobs like landscaping, window cleaning, janitorial jobs.
They encourage that,
yeah. And they say, don't worry about making a life for yourself here in this system, which they mean like the world now. Yeah. Just worry about paradise. So just live a simple life here and live as simple as you can. And then if you want to engorge yourself with everything, you'll get to do that in paradise. So, so they live, they don't live their life here. Wow. They always have their mindset, I'm going to have a better life in paradise. And that's what keeps them going.
Jeez. And there's only 144,000 going there, right? Or
no, those are going to heaven.
Okay. This is the paradise on earth you were talking about. Okay. Yeah.
So
after you clean up all the dead bodies.
Yes. Yes. After you wipe off your brother's guts and
Jeez.
And your uncle's head that's been severed. And, yeah.
Wow. Well, this has been fascinating.
Yeah, really. Another Holy fun hour. Crap.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to end this here, but I think we'll probably have Luis back on in a kind of another segment. We're going to end these two-parter right here, but I think we'll have them on in the future because awesome. I know you have this notebook with awesome points in it. I might actually take a look at it so I can ask you about it. But yeah, we're going to definitely have you back on. I hope everyone's enjoyed this. Thank you, Luis, for coming in.
Thank you so much.
My twice pleasure. Since yes. the first one I didn't finish. So that's awesome. Yeah, thank you for being drinks. Here. Yeah, mine as well. Also, again, thank you to our listeners. Yes. If you're listening and you haven't subscribed,
we appreciate
please
you.
Please subscribe because you're going to get the notifications for the podcast before people that aren't subscribed.
Mm-hmm. Check out our website, ToastedMarshmallowAdventures.com.
Check us out on Instagram, that's Toasted right. Marshmallow Adventures 1. Check us out on Facebook, Toasted Marshmallow Adventures. Anything else?
Here.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Oh, and soon to come, Patreon.
Ooh, yes.
I set up an account today.
Oh, nice.
You got to pay for that stuff, though. It's going to be stuff you don't want your father to hear.
That's right.
So, anyways, again, thank you, Luis. I am going to sign out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mosier. Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, yeah.